Welcome to the Covenant of Peace radio broadcast, the teaching ministry of Pastor Blair Bradley. This program is dedicated to bringing you the glorious truth of God's Word, one verse at a time.
A mighty fortress is our God.
We are living in powerful days, and we are seeing tremendous changes in our lives, our culture, our nation, and in the church. So now more than ever, we have a great need to exercise spiritual discernment and to know what the Bible teaches about the important issues that we all face today. So let's join Pastor Blair as he continues our study on the Word of God.
Welcome again, my beloved in Jesus Christ. We're continuing our verse-by-verse journey through the Epistle of Jude, and today I want to continue in our section of study, which will deal with loving the truth. So let's read Jude verse 3 again together. Beloved, while I was making every effort to write you about our common salvation, I felt the necessity to write to you appealing that you contend earnestly for the faith which was once for all handed down to the saints. Now, in the last broadcast, we dealt with the objections that some people have concerning defending the truth, and I want to continue in that theme today. We saw last time that only if we have two things true in our hearts about the truth, will we be willing to fight to defend and preserve it, or in the words of Jude, only by having two things present in our hearts will we be willing to contend earnestly for the faith that was once and for all delivered for the saints. Those two things are, number one, we have to value the truth so much that we see that it is worth fighting for, and number two, we have to view attacks against the truth to be real and serious. I liken the war against the truth that we face today in the church to another war that we face today as a nation. On September the 11th, 2001, this nation was attacked. We were deliberately and maliciously attacked by those who hijacked airplanes and used these jets as missiles to endeavor to destroy our economy and our way of life. Almost 3,000 men, women, and children died in that deliberate and premeditated attack. We lost more of our own citizens on 9/11 than we did at Pearl Harbor. The 19 men who hijacked those planes and who slaughtered these people were all members of a violent and demonic religion that has, from its beginning 1,400 years ago, espoused violence and murder as its primary means of conversion. Many people in this country view Islam as simply another noble effort that man has to reach the same heaven that Christians strive to reach. They say that Islam and Christianity agree on the major points and simply disagree on the insignificant points. Even President Bush called Islam, quote, a religion of peace, unquote. And he has called those who are Muslims, quote, practitioners of the religion of peace, unquote. In reality, the opposite is true. Islam and Christianity disagree profoundly on the major points, like vital areas such as how is a sinful man saved, original sin, atonement, heaven and hell, the authority of Scripture, and the deity of Jesus Christ. It is also true that Islam has an unchallenged, factual history of extreme violence and brutality that cannot be matched by any other religious movement in human history. What is interesting about this long and protracted war against terror is the way that it is being waged. Immediately after the attacks, the nation was unified in its response. We had been attacked. 3,000 of our own citizens, 3,000 civilians, were murdered in places that were not military targets. Our righteous anger was certainly justified, and we responded as one nation. From the very beginning, our president told us that this war was an attack on our freedom, on our safety, on our sovereignty, and our way of life. What he did not tell you is that it was also an attack against our faith. He told us over and over that we must understand what is at stake. The war was not about politics, nor was it about who made mistakes. It was much more important than that. If we do not fight this war, and if we are not willing to pay the high price for fighting it, and if we are not willing to do whatever it takes to be vigilant and to stay vigilant, we will eventually lose. And if we lose this war, we will cease to be a nation. That is what is at stake here. So the real issue that we must decide as a nation is whether or not we value America enough to fight and to die for her. We either do or we don't. And the real challenge is not that we value America today, because we do, and we have, and we pray for those who stand in harm's way. But the attack against us is relatively recent. The real challenge will be as the years and the decades go by. and the cost in human lives and resources mount, and as the inevitable mistakes are made, and as other administrations come and go, we will begin to forget, and we will begin to seek peace at the expense of liberty and freedom, and as freedom and liberty lose their value in our eyes, we will lose this war. We as a nation will not continue to defend, and we will not continue to fight unless we continue to value that which we are fighting for. So the real challenge that we face long term in this country on the war on terror is that we maintain our love and our devotion, our loyalty and our value for our nation. Because only if our love and devotion and loyalty and value is high will we be willing to fight and die to defend it long term. And that same logic applies to the truth of God's Word. Unless we love the truth, unless we value sound doctrine, unless we have a sense of loyalty and devotion to the teaching of the apostles, unless we can comprehend the seriousness of the real threat against objective divine truth, we will not be willing to defend it, we will not be willing to fight for it, and we certainly won't be willing to die for it. Unless you and I go way beyond simply believing in the Bible, we will not fight for it. We must come to a place, my dear friends, where we don't just believe the truth. We have to move way past simply agreeing with the truth. We have to climb higher than just obeying the truth. You and I need to reach a place in Jesus Christ where we actually love the truth. We must value truth. We must have such a high view of that which God has said and that which Scripture teaches that we will view any attempt to change or to alter or to pervert or to add to or to take away from Holy Scriptures as an attack against God Himself. Now, before you think that this is simply the rantings of a crazy guy from South Mississippi, I want you to look and see how the men that God used to write the Bible viewed attacks against sound doctrine in the gospel. For example, 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verses 3 and 4 say, "But I am afraid that as the serpent deceived Eve by his craftiness, your minds will be led astray from the simplicity and purity of devotion to Christ. For if one comes and preaches another Jesus, whom we have not preached, or you receive a different spirit, which you have not received, or a different gospel, which you have not accepted, you bear this beautifully." Galatians 1, verses 6 through 9, "I am amazed that you are so quickly deserting him who called you by the grace of Christ for a different gospel, which is really not another, only there are some who are disturbing you and want to distort the gospel of Christ. But even if we or an angel from heaven should preach to you a gospel contrary to that we have preached to you, he is to be accursed. As we have said before, so I say now again, if any man is preaching to you a gospel contrary to what you received, he is to be accursed." Now, as hard as many of you think that I am, I've never said anything like this. But the Holy Ghost moved upon Paul to pronounce an eternal damnation on anyone who alters or changes the gospel in any way whatsoever from that which the apostles taught. I want you to continue. Let's look at what the words of the Apostle Peter say in 2 Peter 3, verses 14 through 18. "Therefore, beloved, since you look for these things, be diligent to be found by him in peace, spotless and blameless. And regard the patience of our Lord as salvation, just as also our beloved brother Paul, according to the wisdom given him, wrote to you, as also in all his letters, speaking in them of these things in which are some things hard to understand, which the untaught and unstable distort, as they do also the rest of the Scriptures, to their own destruction. You therefore, beloved, knowing this beforehand, be on your guard, so that you are not carried away by the error of unprincipled men and fall from your own steadfastness, but grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To him be the glory both now and to the day of eternity. Amen." From these passages, we can see that two things were true with the men who actually physically walked and talked with Jesus and with whom those whom God used to pin down Scripture. Number one, they thought that the gospel and sound doctrine was very valuable and worthy to defend. And number two, they saw the attacks against the gospel and against sound teaching to be a real and serious threat. And my goal on these broadcasts is to bring all of us into the same mind as the apostles of the Lord, and that we too place as high a value on truth as they did. The apostle John had a very high view of truth. 27 times in his gospel and 20 times in his epistles, John used the word truth. Here's a small sampling. John 1:14, "And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we saw his glory, his glory as of the only begotten from the Father, full of grace and truth." John 1:17, "For the law was given through Moses, grace and truth were realized through Jesus Christ." John 3:21, "But he who practices the truth comes to the light, so that his deeds may be manifested as having been wrought in God." John chapter 4, verses 23 and 24, "But an hour is coming and now is when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and truth. For such people the Father seeks to be his worshipers. God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship in spirit and truth." John 5:33, "You have sent to John, and he has testified to the truth." John 8:32, "You will know the truth. The truth will make you free." John 8:40, "But as it is, you are seeking to kill me, a man who has told you the truth, which I heard from God. This Abraham did not do." John 8:44 through 47, "You are of your father the devil, and you want to do the desires of your father. He was a murderer from the beginning and does not stand in the truth, because there is no truth in him. Whenever he speaks a lie, he speaks from his own nature, for he is a liar and the father of lies. But because I speak the truth, you do not believe me. Which one of you convicts me of sin? If I speak truth, why do you not believe me? He who is of God hears the words of God. For this reason you do not hear them, because you are not of God." John 14:6, Jesus said to him, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but through me." John 14, verses 15 through 17, "If you love me, you will keep my commandments. I will ask the Father, and he will give you another helper that he may be with you forever, that is the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it does not see him or know him, but you know him, because he abides with you and will be in you." John 17:17, "Sanctify them in the truth, your word is truth." John 18:37, "Therefore Pilate said to him, 'So you are a king?' Jesus answered, 'You say correctly that I am a king. For this I have been born, and for this I have come into the world, to testify to the truth. Everyone who is of the truth hears my voice.'" 1 John 2, verse 4, "The one who says, 'I have come to know him,' and does not keep his commandments is a liar, and the truth is not in him." 1 John 2:21, "I have not written to you because you do not know the truth, but because you do know it, and because no lie is of the truth." 1 John 4:6, "We are from God. He who knows God listens to us. He who is not from God does not listen to us. By this we know the spirit of truth and the spirit of error." 2 John verse 4, "I was very glad to find some of your children walking in truth, just as we have received commandment to do from the Father." 3 John verse 4, "I have no greater joy than this, to hear of my children walking in the truth." The Apostle Paul was especially forthright about insisting about getting the gospel right and fighting to defend the integrity of the gospel. Listen to 1 Timothy chapter 1, verses 9 and 10. "Realizing the fact that law is not made for a righteous person, but for those who are lawless and rebellious, for the ungodly and sinners, for the unholy and profane, for those who kill their fathers or mothers, for murderers and immoral men, homosexuals and kidnappers and liars and perjurers and whatever else is contrary to sound teaching." Now I tell you, the apostles all taught the truth. Objective, solid, biblical doctrine is holy. It is very valuable, dear friends. And it is worth knowing, it is worth studying, it is worth believing, it is worth obeying, it is worth loving, it is worth defending, and it is worth dying for. Well, I'm going to have to stop right here, but please join me again on the next broadcast as we continue our journey through the Epistle of Jude. May God help us all.
Dear friends, if this radio broadcast of line upon line, precept upon precept teaching of God's holy word is a blessing to you, will you prayerfully consider supporting us financially? We want to increase our exposure here on the Gulf Coast through more radio stations and through the Internet. Would you pray about coming alongside of us and help us do that to God's glory? For further information about how you can partner with us in seeing the gospel triumph in our area, or to receive a copy of today's broadcast, go to our website, www.covenantofpeace.net. Until next time, may the peace of God keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus.